Oh, it's so good to see you this morning. What if life was not just good, but it was great? What if your life could be more fulfilling and more rewarding? And what if it could even exceed any limitations or expectations that you could conceive of? I believe today that the life of joy, the life that God intends for us to have, is that kind of life. Here's the problem. Oftentimes, our level of joy is based on our circumstances. In fact, we say, I want to be happy. But the problem with happiness is that happiness is based on happenings. What the economy does. What my health is. What my financial scenario is. These are all of the happenings. What God wants to bring into our life is not just happiness, but is joy. And joy is so much deeper than happiness, because joy has nothing to do with circumstances. Joy has to do with a relationship, not with what's going on around us. Over the next 7 weeks, we're going to continue a series through the book of Philippians. We're going to be talking about this very powerful principle called joy. And it is a major theme of the book of Philippians. We're going to go verse by verse through chapters 3 and chapters 4 as we talk about joy. Because God wants you to have not just happiness based on happenings, but He wants you to have joy, which is so much deeper, so much more powerful. And I believe that when we really begin to understand joy, that we will enjoy life more, we will have a stronger faith, we'll have better, more significant relationships, and probably a whole lot of other things as well. It's going to be a powerful study, and I hope that you won't miss one installment over the next few weeks as we walk through this teaching and these scriptures that deal with the powerful topic of joy, the joy ride. Several years ago, I was living in the Dallas area, and some friends of mine said, Ryan, we want to take you to an extreme, like, recreational park, and we want you to bungee jump. And they thought, well, you know, you're our pastor, so we ought to see you make a fool out of yourself, right? So I said, okay, so let's go. So I went down, I was going to bungee jump, and we got down to the little extreme center there, not too far from the downtown area. And the owner said, well, let me tell you a little bit about the park. Over here, we have the 75-foot bungee jumping station. And I looked over, and there was like a tower and, you know, a little place you kind of jump off and, you know, bounce a little bit. And I thought, cool, I want to go do that. And he said, no. He said, you actually don't need to bungee jump. What you need to do is you need to do that. And he turned around to the opposite side of the park, and he pointed to this huge 150-foot tower. And I said, what is that? And he said, it's called nothing but net. And I said, well, there's no cords, there's no strands, there's no parachutes. I mean, what do you do? And he said, Ryan, it's a 150-foot free fall. We basically take you to the top of the tower and we let you drop. And for 3.5 seconds, it's the most thrilling adrenaline rush that you will ever experience. And I thought, oh my goodness, I thought, you're just going to take me up there and drop me. There is no way. And my friends had brought a video camera, and they were really giving me a hard time. And I was saying, no, I'm just going to bungee jump. You know, I'm going to kind of play it safe over here at 75 feet. I don't want to go to 150 feet. But then my friends pulled the faith card. And they said, Ryan, you claim to be a man of faith, right? And I said, yeah, I think I'm a man of faith. At least most of the time I am. And they said, if you're a man of faith, prove it. And I said, bring it on. They took me up to the top of this 150-foot tower. I was suspended, hanging by one strap, kind of dangling there. And I began to look around at the Dallas skyline, and my first thought was, what a beautiful view. But then as I began to look a little bit more, I began to get kind of queasy. In fact, I saw this on the videotape later. The color out of my face had completely left. I mean, the longer I looked around up there, the sicker that I began to feel. And I finally looked over at the fellow that was helping me, and I said, listen, if you don't hurry up and drop me, I'm going to barf all over you. I'm going to give you just a couple of seconds. And he was trying to give me instructions. You know, he was telling me, Ryan, bend your leg and put your arms here, and trying to get me into position. And I wasn't hearing anything that he was saying. All I was hearing was wah-wah, wah-wah, wah-wah. And finally, he just started grabbing me. You know, he was grabbing my leg, and then he was grabbing my arm, and then he was positioning me, you know. and I was just totally defenseless, no expression on my face. Finally, he dropped me, 3, 2, 1, boom. And I got to tell you, it was an amazing rush, 3.5 seconds. I mean, I have never experienced anything that intense before. I hit the net, and thank God I'm still alive. That was cool. It was good. When I think about that rush and I think about that experience, I think about the life that God wants us to experience. Now, the adrenaline may not be that quite that intense, okay? But God wants us to have a life that is enjoyable, one that is filled with the joy that comes from God, and it's so much deeper than what's going on around us. And so today I want to just share with you several principles from the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, that really get us started in the joy ride. So I want you to take out your outline. If you have a Bible, you can follow along with where we're going, because the scripture says in chapter 3, verse 1, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." Rejoice in the Lord. Now, in chapters 1 and 2, the apostle had already been speaking about joy. In fact, 8 times he had already mentioned it. That's why he says, "Finally, finally, my brothers." And then in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4, he reiterates and says kind of the same thing. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." And that's one of the most famous passages in the book of Philippians. And so in chapters 3 and chapter 4, he basically says the same thing, that we need to be people that rejoice. Now, God commands us to be joyful. God commands us to be joyful. In both of these verses, in chapter 3, verse 1, and chapter 4, verse 4, this verb, rejoice, is in the imperative tense. And in the language of the New Testament, that means that this is a command. Paul commands his readers to rejoice. That's not like kind of like an option or kind of like a bonus. Or sometimes we think, well, you know, those are those people that rejoice a lot and they have that kind of personality, right? They're just happy people. Paul gives us a word of exhortation and challenge, and he gives us a command. A lot of times when we think about commands in the Bible, we think about things like the Ten Commandments, you know? Like, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't do this, don't do that. Did you know that there's many other commands in the Scripture, and God not only commands us to not do some things, but God also commands us to do some things. And one of the things that we've been commanded to do is to rejoice. So if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ and you never have any joy, you're disobeying God. Okay, it's a command. God commands us to be joyful. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, we should be joyful. We got a lot to rejoice in. Now, what does it mean to rejoice? It means to express great joy. Rejoicing is expressing the joy that is in us. The fact that Jesus has died on the cross, he's risen from the grave, he has forgiven us, he has transformed us, he has changed us. We got a lot to celebrate. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we continue to go on. But man, this is not like an option. This is a command. Joy is a relationship, and it begins with the Lord, and God challenges us to rejoice in the Lord. And listen, nobody can steal your joy unless you let them. Do you know that? You may be thinking of that person in your life. Man, I would just be so happy if I didn't have to deal with her, if I didn't have to deal with him, if I didn't have to go through that, if this circumstance changed, if it was just be different in one place, you know, and we think that. Listen, don't let any person, don't let anything steal the joy that God wants you to have. Joy is about our connection to Jesus Christ. It's something on the inside. It's something that's far deeper than our circumstances. Well, how does this begin to happen? Well, God challenges me to be joyful at all times. Notice he says, rejoice in the Lord always, right? Can you guys say that? Rejoice in the Lord. All right. And every time I say rejoice in the Lord, I want you to say, oh, come on, you guys can do a little bit better. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Oh, it's a little bit better. I'm feeling it now. Good job. And always means all the time, right? Not just like part-time, full-time, all of the time, in the good times, in the bad times, on Monday morning, and Friday night and Sunday afternoon. God wants us to rejoice in the Lord always. Yeah, all the time. It's continual. Our job is to rejoice, and God's job is to take care of our circumstances. We have this active-passive conflict in our mind, and that is that if everything gets perfect, then I will passively rejoice. I'll be happy. I'll feel good about life. The Bible, through this scripture, actually tells us the opposite. We choose to rejoice regardless of what's going on. That's active. We have to take charge. We have to make a commitment. We have to decide. Listen, you're going to have to work at it a little bit. If you're going to rejoice in the Lord, you're going to have to practice. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to change your mind. You're going to have to refocus your thoughts. You're going to have to spend a little more time in prayer. It's going to be a challenge because it's difficult to rejoice in the Lord always. Now, when I thrive, man, when things are going great, God wants us to rejoice in the Lord. Now, why would He want us to rejoice in the Lord when we are thriving? Or why should we? Well, obviously, we don't want to take for granted the blessings of God. So when things are going great in your life, rejoice in the Lord always. Yeah. And then also, there's other times, not when we're thriving, but even when we sin, we can rejoice in the Lord. How does that work, Ryan? We can rejoice in the Lord when we sin because we know that God will forgive us, right? Now, that's not permission. Okay, don't leave here today and go, man, I'm just going to go do whatever because God's going to forgive me, you know. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, yeah, I want to sleep with her because I know God will forgive me, you know. And I was like, well, wait a second. No, time out, you know. But listen, know this, we do have a loving God. And so we can rejoice in the Lord. God's going to convict us of that sin. That's another reason to rejoice. And then He's going to restore us and forgive us so we can even rejoice in the Lord when we sin. Now, even when we hurt, because the Bible says that even when we hurt, we ought to rejoice in the Lord. And notice Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul in another book writes this. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from His love. Death can't, life can't. The angels can't, the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're never separated from the Lord. And that's reason for us to rejoice in the Lord always. Yeah. So when we thrive, when we sin, when we hurt, all of the time we have something to rejoice in. Now, a lot of times we are subject to our feelings. And, you know, if we feel like rejoicing, we want to rejoice. And if we don't feel like rejoicing, we don't. But you know, the problem with living life through our feelings is our feelings are so volatile. I mean, in one day, we can be up and down 20 different times, can't we? We get this phone call, we have to do this, we find out bad news, you know, our boss asks us to do this, our family's got this going on. I mean, every single day, what's going on in our lives is just constantly in flux. And if your level of joy is always contingent upon happenings, circumstances, you will be a person that is all over the place emotionally, and you will never have the joy of the Lord. When the joy of the Lord is in our life, it brings a constant foundation, and it brings something that is unchanging as a stabilizing factor in our own lives. Did you know that even the doctors tell us the act of rejoicing can help us reduce worry and tension in our hearts and minds? People who have a more positive outlook on life, people who are enthusiastic and rejoice, if you will, are people that live healthier lives. You know? And so there's not only spiritual implications, but there's even physical implications that go along with this that are powerful. Now, is this even possible, Ryan? I mean, rejoice in the Lord always, like, that sounds cool at church, but how does that work, right? The Apostle Paul gives us a powerful teaching. But listen, this was not something that he challenged his readers to live out. That was something that he had not experienced. Did you know this? The letter of Philippians was actually written from a prison cell. Now, how is it that the Apostle Paul is talking about rejoicing in the Lord while he's chained to a Roman guard? And you know, approximately 25% of Paul's life was spent in prison. A lot of times we think about prison, we think about guys lifting weights and shooting hoops and reading magazines and watching television. I want to assure you that in the Roman establishment, that is not what prison was like. There was no such thing as prison rights. It was cold. It was dungy. I mean, it was a filthy place. Inmates didn't get baths regularly. They would beat you and then they wouldn't tend your wounds. They wouldn't give you a change of clothes. It was so miserable that many prisoners would just beg for a speedy death or even take their own life. This is a horrible, miserable place to be. And yet Paul, in this scenario, said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And I guarantee you, if Paul could rejoice in the Lord while he's in prison, then you can rejoice in the Lord in spite of what's going on in your life. Because God wants us to rejoice in the Lord always. Yeah. I love Nehemiah 8:10 because it goes on and it really illustrates this a little bit more. It says, "The joy of the Lord will be your strength." The joy of the Lord will be your strength. I think that has got to be one of my favorite verses about joyful living. The joy of the Lord. You know, when the joy of the Lord is in our lives and is operating, it just gives us a little lift. You know, it gives us a little boost, if you will. A little more energy. A little more aptitude, a little more strength to overcome the adversity that we are facing. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. I have some friends that served at a previous church with me named Bobby and Janice, two of my favorite people. They were Bible study leaders at our church and a fantastic couple. When I met them, our mutual friend said, "Ryan, they're both cancer survivors." They have an amazing testimony. They're a tremendous couple. There were a couple probably in their late 40s when I met them and did not have any children. And they were just a delight to be around. Bobby was a guitar player and wrote songs and made CDs. And Janice wrote books. And they were just an awesome couple. And very interesting people, a lot of fun to be around. Everybody in our church loved them. Shortly after I left that church, a mutual friend let me know that Janice had passed away. And I thought, what in the world? Where did that come from? I mean, I had not talked to Bobby in about a year, but I was extremely surprised that this had happened. So when right after I found out, I picked up my cell phone and I called Bobby and I said, "Hey, what happened to Janice?" And he said, "Ryan, for 10 years, she's had these foreign cells in her body. And, you know, the cancer just came back and, you know, eventually, it just kind of overwhelmed her." And I said, "You know, Bobby, I had no idea that she was fighting for her life. I mean, you guys were at church every Sunday. You guys had a smile on your face. You guys, you know, laughed and everything." And I was like, "I just didn't make any sense to me. I didn't even know. I mean, I was shocked." And he said, "Ryan, I'm so glad that you said that, because," he said, "that's exactly the way that Janice wanted it. She didn't really want anybody to feel sorry for her. She didn't really want to tell anybody what was going on." And he said, "The joy of the Lord was her strength." And I thought, wow. I thought, man, I don't even know if I can even understand that. I don't even know if I can even wrap my brain around that whole thing. But as I talked to him and as I thought about my experience with them, I realized that it was almost like her love for Jesus Christ and the joy of the Lord that she had helped her to almost forget about what was going on in her life. Now, I would have loved to have prayed with them and encouraged them and to minister to them in whatever way that I could have, if that had been appropriate. But isn't it powerful that somebody could be going through such tremendous circumstances and still have the joy of the Lord. So, sometimes I meet people and I'll think to myself, I think she's a Christian. I think he's a Christian. And sometimes it's people I don't even know. I can just observe and watch people. And maybe you've had this happen to you before. You can just see a joy in their life. I've even asked people before. I'll be like, hey, I know this may be kind of a weird question, but you're a Christian, right? And they'll be like, yeah, you know, because there's just something different about it. There's something distinctive. There's something the world can't even get close to it. The world can't touch it. People that don't know Christ can't even comprehend it. But in the Lord, there is a joy that supersedes circumstances. And it is the joy of the Lord that is our strength. Well, God calls me to be joyful in Christ. And this is how this works. Okay? In Christ, we are to rejoice. Notice the scripture here in Philippians 3:1. It says, rejoice in the Lord. And this week I was in study and I was thinking about this scripture and I thought, why does the Bible say to rejoice in the Lord? Why doesn't it say that we ought to rejoice in this or to rejoice in that? It says, rejoice in the Lord. Here's what occurred to me. This and that is always changing. It's unpredictable. God is the only thing in our life that is always the same. I mean, God is the same when you go to bed tonight, and He's the same in the morning, and He's the same in the next day. And while our families are changing, and our finances are changing, and the economy is changing, and our health is changing, and everything else in the world is changing, the one unchanging thing in the world is the Lord. And that's why when we begin to build our lives on the foundation of the unchanging person of God, that it begins to bring this stabilizing factor into our life that helps us to cope with the storms of life. God calls me to be joyful in Christ. In Christ. To rejoice in the Lord is to rejoice in Him. Because Jesus Christ is never changing. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because He is the unchanging factor, God wants us to rejoice in Him. And when we begin to do that, we begin to focus on this foundation that is not volatile, that's not controlled by feelings and emotions, but one that is constant and one that is faithful. And that is the same. The joy of Jesus Christ supersedes our circumstances. And so what God wants us to do today is to begin to rejoice in the Lord always. And as we rejoice in the Lord always, we begin to get on this road and this journey called the joy ride. Let's just bow for a word of prayer for just a moment and let's just pray for a minute. Maybe today you've never really connected with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've heard stuff about God. Maybe you've even read the Bible before. But maybe you've never really begun a spiritual journey with Him. And today, you want to say, man, I want to follow Jesus. I want to have the joy of the Lord. You've seen the joy of the Lord in the lives of other people. You've been around that. But maybe you've never experienced it before. Would you just open your heart to Him today and just say yes to Christ? The Bible tells us that He died on a cross. And 3 days later that He rose from the grave. And now our opportunity is to respond to Him in faith and in total confidence and belief in Him. Let's just pray and just say this prayer today. If you'd like to commit your life to Christ today for the first time, say, Lord, I know that I've sinned. Lord, I know that I've sinned. I pray You'd forgive my sins. And I'm placing my faith in Christ and what He did at the cross. I'm placing my faith in Christ and what He did at the cross. For new life and to experience the joy that only You can bring. And we pray all of these things in the wonderful name of our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.